Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. We're talking about Valentine's Day in Scripture, but I wanted to take this opportunity to explore something that perhaps Valentine's Day may help us remember on a relationship level. What matters most? What matters most? In answering that question, I believe we need to ask, what matters most to God? And if we could answer that question, what matters most to God, then the same answer should apply to you and to me. Well, what is it that matters most to God? Galatians 5:6 is a passage that can answer that question. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. And you realize he's addressing a certain idea there in writing to the Galatians. But by extension, notice the last part of that passage. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And yes, directing these remarks to a specific situation in Galatia, in this battle of whether you need to, if Christians need also to keep parts of the old law, the law of Moses. He's saying it's not a matter of being a Jew or a Gentile. What matters is being in Christ. And what matters being in Christ is faith expressing itself through love. Now without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. So faith is essential to pleasing God. But it's not just faith, but faith that expresses itself through love. So my answer to what matters most is, from the Scriptures, it really boils down to, it's all about love. It's all about love. And that may sound like a cliche, but when you really boil it down, it is indeed all about love. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The great love chapter, as it is called. I want us just to look again at the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13 to recognize the primacy of love. How it is all about love. How important it is. We're called by God to live lives of love. And I want to couch these verses in these terms. If we don't live a life of love, here's some things we learn. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I say will matter. Look with me to verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Obviously, 1 Corinthians 13 was sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14. And you really need to study those three chapters together in order to get the context. And the context is that there were miraculous spiritual gifts present among the Christians there in Corinth. But because of that, there was some envy and some jealousy on the part of those who had been given those miraculous spiritual gifts. And it seems that one that was favored above all was the ability to speak in languages that they had not studied, speaking in tongues or other languages. And this was present, no doubt, because the will of God was not complete. They didn't have the complete will of God. And so God would guide this process by giving this miraculous spiritual gift to impart His will, even in foreign languages. Imagine if I were to speak to you this morning in German. That would be a miraculous spiritual gift. You know why? Because I've never studied German. I know it's a gruff language and I might could imitate that language, but I could not speak it to you because I don't have that miraculous spiritual gift. But it was evident. It was occurring in the first century here, including among the Christians here in Corinth. And so there was this envy and jealousy regarding these spiritual gifts, and most of them wanted that one particular gift. But in this center chapter, chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is saying, really, love is what's most important here. Because if I speak with the tongues of men, and can even speak angelese, that's a loose translation, but have not love, I become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Even if I had that gift of speaking in languages that I had not studied, if I could speak with the language of angels, but I don't do it in love, nothing I say will matter. By extension from that, anything you and I might say today, we love to hear great speakers, great communicators. We love eloquence. We love to hear people share things that really stir our hearts. But God says, you know, that's good, but that's not what's most important. Even if you have that ability to stir the people's hearts and minds, but you don't do it with love, it doesn't mean a thing. Nothing I say will matter if it's not spoken in love. God says words without love are just noise. Secondly, notice, if I don't live a life of love, nothing I know will matter. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but have not love, I am nothing. Again, in its context, these miraculous spiritual gifts, the gift of prophecy that would include both foretelling, yes, but forthtelling, being that inspired spokesperson for God. And having that gift of understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, that a special gift of knowledge. If I know all these things, but have not love, I am nothing. You may be a genius. You may be brilliant. You may even be a walking Bible encyclopedia. You may have expertise in other areas in math, literature, or history. But God says if we don't have love, nothing we know will matter. Brilliance without love equals zero. Thirdly, if I don't live a life of love, nothing I believe will matter. Verse 2, though I have all faith so I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Again, without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. And that's the foundation of our relationship with God, that faith. But Paul says if we had the faith so that we could move mountains, but we don't have love, it matters nothing. Nothing I believe will matter. I can believe in God. I can believe God and trust His Word. But if that faith isn't expressed in love to Him and love to others, then it really doesn't matter. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I give will matter. Again, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Look at that verse closely. And underscore that word, all. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I give it all up. I sell everything that I have. And I give it all for this purpose of feeding the poor. But if I don't have love, that is unprofitable. Can you be in a relationship and give for selfish motives? Absolutely. Some people give in order to get back. Well, if I give in this way, then I'll get a return in that way. Some people may give out of guilt, trying to pacify a guilty conscience. Something that they've done in the past, and so they try to give to make up for that. Some people give to control other people, to try to manipulate them to serve their own desires. Some people may give for prestige, for glory, for honor. Paul says, if I give all my goods, even to feed the poor in that worthy cause, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Even if I give my body to be burned. And the idea is being a martyr. Giving your life for some cause. But if it's not done in love, it profits us nothing. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I accomplish will matter. Is a way of summing it up. We can amount a list of personal achievements. We can have our pictures on the cover of Fortune magazine or Time. We can win the Nobel Peace Prize. We can have enormous accomplishments, be Entrepreneur of the Year, build a billion-dollar company, on and on we can go. But Paul says if we don't have love, it profits us nothing. So how do we summarize it? God says I can have the eloquence of an orator, the knowledge of a genius, the faith of a miracle worker, the generosity of a philanthropist, the achievements of a superstar. But if I don't have love in my heart, it's worth zero. It's worth zero. What matters to God is that we love Him and that we love other people. That's the big umbrella. That's the will of God for you and for me. Eric read for us Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. The context is that a lawyer asked Jesus, a scribe came and asked, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the foremost commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the foremost commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Was he referring back to the old law? Was he summarizing the old law? Which is the greatest commandment there? Yes. Was he also summarizing the new covenant? I suggest yes as well. Because those are the greatest commandments of all. That we love the Lord supremely and that we love others like we love ourselves. By the way, if we love the Lord supremely, we're going to be diligent about being obedient to His will. We can't demonstrate our love to Him any other way. And so we're going to take great pains to worship the way He wants us to serve the way He wants us to organize the church the way He wants us to, because of our love for Him. But also that second commandment follows right on the heels of the first. The God's will for us, what matters most to Him, is that we love others like we love ourselves. You see, one day we're going to stand before God. He's not going to look so much at our bank accounts. He's not going to look at our accomplishments. He's not going to look at our grades. He's not going to look at our sports trophies. He's not going to look at our resumes. What He's going to be looking for is, did we love Him with our lives supremely? And did we care about other people? Those are the primary things right there. Do you love God with all your heart? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? What is love? What is love? It's probably the most abused word today. Because we use it in so many different senses. I love God. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my church family. But I also love spaghetti. I also love basketball. And I'm using that same word, love, in each of those sentences. There better be a degree there. A difference in degree, as certainly there is. But you see, this definition of what is love in the world, many, if not most, don't understand what love is. But it is all about love. So we need to be able to define it. And I don't have enough time to define every word for love that we find in the Bible. But I want to share with you, remind you of four principles of love this morning. Four principles of love. Number one, the Bible says that love is a command. Love is a command. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a command from God. Here's some others. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. It's a command from God, obviously. But what we learn from that is, one of the corollaries of this is, if love is a command, then we recognize love is not a feeling. Because you cannot command a person's feelings. Although we as parents, I'm sure, have tried it many times. Little Johnny is crying over something. We say, Johnny, stop those tears and be happy. Little Johnny just can't seem to do that, can he? Because you cannot command someone's feelings. Love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Love creates feelings. Yes, it produces feelings. It causes feelings. But love is not an emotion. It's what drives our emotions. But it's a command. It's a command of God. And so it's more than an emotion. Which brings us, secondly, love is a choice. Love is a choice. And that follows the first principle, because a command can either be obeyed or disobeyed. God has left us with that choice whether or not we're going to be obedient. So even this commandment to love is a choice that we must make. 1 Corinthians 14:1, still in that context of the Apostle Paul by inspiration regulating the use of those miraculous spiritual gifts, he says, pursue love. Or one version says, follow the way of love. While these miraculous spiritual gifts were being used, he says, here's a principle that should guide the use of those things. And that is the way of love. That you need to be loving towards one another. Not envious, not bragging about what gift you have. But the most excellent way is the way of love. So choose to follow the way of love. Love is a choice. And you see, that destroys another myth that we have about love. Many would suggest that love is uncontrollable. One day we're walking along and we're instantly in love. No control over it at all. I fell into love like it's a big ditch or something. Help, I've fallen in love and I can't get up, borrowing the lines of a commercial. As if we had no control over our choice to love or not to love. But the scriptures teach us that love is a command, and also that love is a choice. And when we recognize that, what about this statement that we hear from a man or a woman that will seek to justify a separation or a divorce? I just don't love him. I just don't love her anymore. I'll never forget what the preacher said to a man that had come into his office with those very words. I just don't love her anymore. What shall I do? And the preacher thought for a moment and then he responded, well, the only thing I can see to do from the scriptures is you need to repent and start loving her again. What's the message? Love is a choice you make. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's the choice that we're going to act lovingly, which will bring us to another point in just a moment. But it's not something that we just feel. It's something that we do, whether we feel like it or not. And the good thing about it is, when we choose to love, that those appropriate feelings will often follow. Have any of you gotten up in the middle of the night with a child that was sick? That's love. Have any of you ever been kind and patient with your mate when they were grumpy and grouchy? One woman was asked, "Do you wake up grumpy in the morning?" She said, "No, I usually let him sleep." But being patient and kind, even when our friends, our family members are not acting so lovingly, when we go beyond that and choose to love anyway, that's love. Love is a choice. Which brings us thirdly, and all these tie in together, love is conduct. Love is conduct. You see, it's much deeper than a feeling, than an emotion. It's behavior, it's action. It's something you do. 1 John 3:18, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Let me give you a couple of other translations. "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Here's a paraphrase, New Living Translation. "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." Folks, love is conduct. It's conduct. It's not something you feel. It's not just something you say. It's something you do. It's behavior. It's actions. It's activity. It's more than just talk. It's more than just a nice, pretty Hallmark card. But ladies, remember, if we got you one, that is one demonstration of love. But it is an action. It's not just sentimentality. It's something we do. Love is conduct. We got to get beyond this idea that love is that feeling. No, love is an action word. Love means we behave lovingly toward others. And then the fourth principle is that love is a commitment. Love is a commitment. In 1 Corinthians 13, that beautiful love chapter, at the very end of that beautiful definition of love, love never fails. In the Amplified Version, it states it this way: love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Love never fails. Love is a commitment to loving for life. Love keeps on. It's durable. It keeps on giving whether you like it or not. It keeps on loving. It keeps on going. Folks, what matters most? It really boils down to love. Loving God supremely and loving others accordingly. But what is love? Yes, it's a command. It's a choice. It's conduct and it's commitment. But I want to conclude with the greatest definition of all. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him." Notice these next three words. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You really want to know what love is? Then look at the cross. Because God is expressing His love for us in the most profound way in the gift of His Son. Then even when we were unlovable, God loved us. He put our needs at the forefront of His actions. And He gave Himself to die for us, that we might have forgiveness, that we may have life in Him. How will I respond to that love? And I hope that our commitment is we're going to respond to the love of God by loving Him supremely and by loving others the way that we should. Perhaps it's your desire this morning to respond to the love of God by being obedient to His will, by obeying the gospel, by your faith and turning from sin and repentance, that you're ready to confess Jesus and be baptized so that His blood can wash away your sins. We hope that if you've not expressed your love for God in those ways, that you'll do so even today. And may each of us commit again, recommit our lives to doing what matters most to God. And that is by expressing our love for Him and for others, by being the kind of people that He's called us to be. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, won't you come right now as we stand and sing.